Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to the Morning Mayhem with me, Howard Feldman, and back in a studio with us is Dr. Hanan Bushkin. He is a psychologist in private practice, and we are looking at a few weeks, a few episodes, where we talk about and we look at various things that make us who we are. Last week, we spoke about the stories we tell ourselves. And this morning, we are going to move on to something that I find so, so interesting. Difficult people or difficult patterns. Dr. Hanan Bushkin, welcome back to the Morning Mayhem. I hope you are well.
I'm well. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back.
Are you, or are you just saying that?
I'm glad to do that.
I don't know. You know what? You know, when you've got to keep your wits about you when you talk to you guys. Like, you know, like, are you?
Really? No, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you got to read between the lines.
100%. No, I can tell you he seems happy, so that's good. Okay. So here's the thing is I'm actually so sick of the word narcissist. I'm sick of everybody being a narcissist. I'm sick of everybody being on the spectrum and everybody being a sociopath, unless I'm calling them that, because then I really believe they are. But like, in a way, it's a lot easier to label people difficult people, even, and some are, than it is maybe to deal with what is really going on. Have you noticed, and what is your observation about this whole everybody's a narcissist business?
So the cost of being lazy with regards to defining people as a particular personality type or having a particular temperament is that you're boxing people and you don't actually give yourself permission to see the nuance of the person. In reality, nobody is really just one thing. Mm-hmm. We have introvert qualities and we have extrovert qualities. We have mature qualities and we have immature qualities.
Right.
We have there's a part of us that really wants to learn and there's a part of us that really wants to be shallow.
But is that great?
That's what makes human humans.
I think I am both an introvert and an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I am incredibly childish, but I can be mature.
Exactly, but that's the point.
Not often.
But actually, if we saw you in a particular situation, let's say with your kids, we'd see a particular version of you compared to your wife, compared to your best friends, compared to, you know, having a serious philosophical argument with somebody or a discussion. We just see different sides to you. And to say a person is X and that's it, it's like turning to a chameleon and saying, you are green. Be green. And by telling a chameleon to just be green, you're taking the essence away from a chameleon. Because what makes us really special is that we're able to adapt to different situations, different environments. And never mind if you saw me with my wife, I'd be different. If you saw me with my child, I'd be different. The truth is, if you saw me with my kids playing compared to reprimanding them, you'd see a different version of me. And that's what makes us adaptable.
Okay.
So to be lazy and just label somebody you are taking away not just from them, but from your ability to engage with them in other areas that you could get along.
Okay.
Because the moment I label you as just a nasty person, and that's the box that you belong in, then I actually stop myself from engaging with you and looking for parts of you that I could connect.
Okay.
Because are there parts to you or to whoever I'm labeling as a nasty or an ugly person that I could potentially get along with? 100%. 100%. You know, I will see, for example, a child in my practice. They're sent here by their parents and the child doesn't want to be there. And what do I have in common with a 14-year-old? Mm. Almost nothing. And if I try just go, well, this child, as maybe their parents would label them, is just defiant, then for me to find a common denominator is going to be impossible. So all I do with them, because I would refuse to label the child as defiant, because usually, by the way, it's the parent, right? So if I see a child, all I look for are common denominators. So I let go of the label and I go, so do you like soccer? And they go, as an example, I do. Oh, who's your favorite team? Manchester? Oh my God, me too. Did you see the last game? And before you know it, we're connecting. So I refuse to label them as defiant and not look for ways to connect in common denominators, because I know that as human beings, there are nuances to us. There are levels to us. There are different aspects to us that we can connect on. And if you allow yourself to just define a person in a label, you will not look for the alternative that you could connect on.
That said, there has to be a small percentage of people who are really nasty people that we might not want to be engaged with enough to find it, because maybe they're harmful, maybe because they are dangerous to me personally or to my family. I'm not saying physically, whatever. But
I get it.
But there are,
yeah, you're raising a great point. But here's the truth, though. Is there something that you can find in common with anybody?
Yes.
Probably. Yes. Probably. But to your point, sometimes the value of looking for it is overwhelmed by the cost of it.
Yes.
In other words, there's more damage than good.
Yes.
And therefore, you're not prepared to. Mm. And that's okay. Mm. So this person is not good for me, irrespective of the fact that I can look for good, irrespective of the fact that I could find common denominators, irrespective of the fact that I can find value, this person, bottom line, is not healthy for me, and I refuse to engage in that. That's 100% legit.
Okay. So that's why we are quick to label people, going back to what we spoke about last week, as well as this idea. It's almost because we're lazy and it just fits our narrative.
Fits a narrative. So that person is nasty and that's it. And now, by the way, as to your point, Howard, if the person is not healthy for you, that's completely legitimate to go, you know what, that person, I'm putting them in the unhealthy box and that's it. I'm not looking to find value in that. But if this is a husband, if this is a wife, if this is a child, if this is your boss, if this is a colleague, somebody that you have to interact with, to put them in that dark box of I don't get along with them actually creates suffering for you.
Yes.
Because then you don't look for those things that you can connect on.
Which makes your life quite intolerable.
Completely. Because how are you meant to work 24-7 or be with a partner 24-7 that you see them as an ugly person?
So I always wonder why some people drain us and some people energize us. What is it about that?
So what makes human beings connect is fulfilling each other's needs.
Okay.
So the moment we can fulfill each other's needs, that's naturally we're going to connect. So you need a glass of water. I've got a glass of water. You're naturally going to connect to me.
Right.
I need food. You've got a parcel of food. I'm naturally going to connect to you. The moment the person cannot give you or won't give you or doesn't have what you need, you're naturally going to pull away from that person and gravitate towards somebody that can fulfill that need. So naturally how it works is that if I can't give you what you need, you will naturally pull away. If I refuse to give you what you need, you'll naturally resent me.
Mm.
And resentment doesn't die. Resentment just gets transferred into another part of the relationship.
Ah, interesting.
So what happens is people that can't fulfill our needs, we naturally pull away from, or we feel a sense of resentment. We find those people very difficult to deal with.
That is so interesting. Wow.
Resentment doesn't die. If you think, just talking about relationships, if you think that you can give yourself permission to not fulfill your partner's needs and then forget about it, you forget about it. Because that resentment is not going anywhere. Because human nature wants justice.
Mm.
And naturally what they do is they start staying at work a little bit later than they should. They start engaging with their friends a little bit more than they should. They don't really help you around the house as much as they should. Just to get...
So resentment causes... No. Needs not being met causes resentment,
yes,
or just a pulling disconnect, away, a disconnect. Yes. Disconnect obviously is we know what that means, but resentment has its own result and nuance.
It doesn't die. It doesn't naturally die. It just, as I said, it just gets transferred into another aspect of the relationship.
I'm fascinated by that.
It's important.
Wow. So, but in other words, why certain personalities exhaust us and others energize us is because people that energize us are meeting our needs on some level.
Yeah. Think about the people that
they're giving us that glass of water.
Exactly.
Right.
And we don't need, by the way, a lot of what we don't need. We just need a little bit of what we do. Think about the people that you get along with. Mm. You can speak to somebody and you're fulfilling each other's intellectual needs.
Mm.
And you're speaking for 2 hours and it feels like it's been 10 minutes because you're fulfilling each other's needs. There's
It's
water
kind of
going back and
interesting.
forth.
Yeah.
So the moment I give you what you don't need, so you need water and I shove a burger down your throat, naturally you don't want to engage with me
Yeah,
anymore.
and it just becomes too
Yeah, forced.
forced.
It's not real.
That is amazing. But then, and people pressing somebody's buttons, where does that come from then?
So
Because if people there are people that trigger us.
for sure.
Yeah.
So pressing people's buttons is one, not only not fulfilling needs, but last week we spoke about I have a certain way of engaging the world. I've got a certain set of programming. The moment somebody comes along and forces me to see the world differently, forces me to engage the world differently, forces me to change the lens, the programming, naturally I'm going to rebel. We call it cognitive dissonance. So naturally I'm going to rebel against anybody that makes me do things differently to what I'm used to. So when somebody comes along and says, actually the world is not blue, the world is actually red, and let me show you why red is real, naturally that pushes my buttons.
But
When somebody makes me see the world, be different in the world, engage the world in different ways that could even be better for me, I'll naturally rebel.
that's very, very interesting. I know that I'm, yeah, it sounds terrible. I shouldn't even say it, but boring people, like people that just don't have any form of, any form of interest, absolutely presses my buttons.
No, that's not your thing. Your thing is to engage with people that resonate with your energy.
I know,
And by the
but
way, the fact that people push your buttons doesn't mean they're not good for you. It just means they challenge your current programming, which could be actually quite healthy for you.
oh no, I don't think so.
Maybe not in your
No,
case. Maybe not in your case. But yeah, but here's a perfect example of how your brain goes, no, 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 no. I
no,
reject that. You
exactly.
reject that.
That
No,
is
no,
so
not for
true.
me.
I
Yeah.
just took
Yeah.
it and threw it right out of the
Exactly.
studio. Not
Exactly.
interested in this nonsense.
Psychology 101, the
Or you
moment you
telling me
have
I've got to engage happily with boring people?
So interestingly, I mean, we talk about relationships.
Yes.
I see
Are
so
you
many
saying my wife is
people.
boring?
I would never venture there. I like my life.
Brave
I
man.
like my life. I
Exactly.
like my life.
Exactly.
But I want to tell you, I see so many couples. And for example, I see a woman and she'll say to me, Hanan, I've been in chaotic relationships, men that lie, men that cheat, men that steal, et cetera, et cetera. And I said to her, I asked her an interesting question. I said to her, tell me, when you date a guy that is chaos, drama, everything that you've always known, how does that feel? And she goes, excitement. I love it. Something to chase, something new, something to fix, something to fix. And ask her the opposite question. So tell me about the nice guy, the guy that's going to be consistent and transparent and
Boring,
honest.
yeah.
Boring.
That is so
So guess
interesting.
what I'll make them do? Go for the,
Boring
for the
guy.
boring. Boring is not always bad.
No, it's not always well.
Yeah,
Fine. No, I reject that. I've told you, we've
exactly.
already rejected them. Okay, so can difficult people change?
Of course. Of course. Of course. But difficult people change with the moment you give them an incentive to. Why would a difficult person change unless they have to? So we naturally gravitate towards things that give us reward and we pull away from things that it can give us consequences. So a difficult person can change, you know, like the old joke of how do what's the joke? Like how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is, well, the light bulb must want to change. And you know, in human nature, if you can't change somebody by force, because then you build resentment, and resentment doesn't die, right? So the person has got to be incentivized to change.
Absolutely amazing. I'm really so upset these sessions are too short. But okay, so when do we accept somebody and when do we walk away? Is there a rule?
Yes. When the value outweighs the cost, in line with your goal, in line with what you want to create for yourself, then it's worth trying to negotiate the relationship. But where the cost outweighs the value in line with your goal, then sometimes saying goodbye and grieving that what it was is right. I always tell people, don't marry the fantasy of what you wish it was, marry the reality of what it is. And if it doesn't
Whoa,
serve
no,
you,
I'm sorry. I always do this to you, that you say these clever things very quickly. And I know if I'm taking a second to catch it up. Our listeners are too. So say that again for me.
Don't marry the fantasy of what you wish the relationship was. Marry the reality of what it is.
Love that.
So don't marry what you wish it was. Yeah. But he could always be the right guy. But my boss.
He's not. He's always going to be a schmuck.
You see, marry what it is.
Yeah.
What it is.
Exactly. Marry the schmuck.
Marry what it is. This is the. And when I say marry, I don't mean marry the chuppah. I mean accept that this is the reality and work with the acceptance.
Love that. Okay. Dr. Hanan Bushkin, we need to wrap it up. I just want to ask you the same question I asked you last week, a little bit different. This week, when you catch yourself getting irritated with someone, remember.
What is it about me that person is pushing against that I should reevaluate?
Where can we find your stuff?
My podcast, Everything is Going to Be Okay, No Option B, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all social media platforms under Dr. Hanan Bushkin.
That is where we leave it. 061-895-1019. I'm Howard Feldman. Give me your feedback. Give me your experience. We'll be back just after this.